Chapter 3, we're coming to the end. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us, so that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified everywhere, just as it was among you. These are the words of a passionate missionary. And that we may be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not all have faith. Paul's writing from Corinth, and we're going to find when he leaves Corinth, no, that's a bit later, sorry, but he's already finding problems, of course, persecution himself. But the Lord is faithful, that's his point. The Lord, God, Jesus, both called Lord, usually he means Jesus, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you, he will guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and you'll go on doing the things that we command. Quite a strong word for Paul to use. Not exhort or plead, but command. He has obviously, he's an apostle, he has authority, and he's willing to use it, and he's using it in this letter because he has discerned that they need a strong message against this little group, troublesome group, who are claiming prophetic gifts and are distorting the faith. So thank God he comes on strong. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness, patience, forbearance of Christ. So keep looking at God's love and keep looking at the faithfulness and patience and of Jesus. Now, he says, coming up to the last series of pieces, he says, we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep away from believers, and our translation is, who are living in idleness. That's the word that Paul used twice in the first letter to the Thessalonians. I don't think it's good enough. It's not just that they're living in idleness. The word itself means insubordinate, not acting according to right order. In other words, they're not living their faith in a way that's consistent or respectful or to the order. They're a little group who are breaking away from the leadership, and that's happened all through the church, and are not respectful of authority, and they're, okay, they are living in idleness, but the main thing is they're not living according to the tradition that they received from us. And because Paul is so strong with them, he's not just concerned with people who are a bit lazy. I mean, that doesn't account for all this, keeping away from them, etc. I suspect, and it's not just a suspicion, that the problem is it's this group that are presenting all these false ideas. Maybe because they're expecting the parousia any time. They're saying, I don't need to work, don't need to do anything. They're bludging on the community, and they've got plenty of time to wander around from prayer group to prayer group to prayer group, doing nothing else, and coming up with all these prophetic little words from God, which are not from God. So they're actually a troublesome group that need a good job to get to tie them down and get them real. And they're not living according to the tradition. You yourself know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were among you. We weren't just wasting time, we weren't, etc. He goes on, and we didn't eat anyone's bread without paying for it, so they're obviously doing that as well. But with toil and labour we worked night and day so that we mightn't burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. So get these people to live honest, true lives and stop the silly talk and the just more bludging on the community. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command, anyone unwilling to work shouldn't eat. It's a fairly often quoted text of Paul. And don't take it absolutely, of course, but his point is still there. If they're not willing to work, well, don't be feeding them. Don't feed their laziness and their whatever they're trying to do. Be real with them. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness. Some of you are living insubordinate lives, undisciplined lives, mere busybodies. not doing any work, wandering around, nitpicking, scandal-mongering, chatting away, disturbing the community. Such persons we command and we exhort in our Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, don't be weary in doing what is right. What is right? Doing what is right in the Greek is made up of, it's a verb, it's made up of the word poieo, means to do. Poetry comes from that, poiesis, etc. Poeta, poieo, but on the front is kalos. The Greek is quite beautiful. It's very different from Latin. Latin uses words like virtue, for example. And virtue, you might know, comes from virtus, which means strength, or vir, meaning male, as distinct from female. So Roman, you know, the soldiers, all that stuff is pretty male, and virtue is being strong, being manly, whether you're a man or a woman. Greek is arete, which means excellence. Much better word for what we're talking about. Latin uses the word right, which comes from law, really, doing the right thing. In other words, following the traditions, following the gods, following what you're commanded to do by the military general, following what the emperor tells you to do, all that stuff. Greek doesn't use that word. It doesn't. It uses the word kalos. Kalos means beautiful. Do what is beautiful. So that's pretty good, isn't it? Beautiful meaning beautiful. So there's just a different way of looking at it. And the Greek sculpture, as you know, was the perfect form. The Romans, thank God, when they did sculpture, the face was the face of the person. They did their best to get right down to what the bloke actually looked like or the woman looked like with all warts and all. They were into that kind of tough, hard reality. The Greeks made the perfect kouros, the perfect youth or the perfect virgin. So it wasn't what the person looked like, but what their idea was of the perfect body and all that. So I'm going on all about that because here he says, don't weary of doing beautiful things. Kalo poeo, doing what is beautiful. Take note of those who do not obey what we say in this letter. Have nothing to do with them, so that they may be ashamed. See, he's telling them to actually not quite excommunicate, but to steer clear of these people and also exclude, don't let them take over the body, the community. Why? So that they'll be expelled forever? No. So that they'll be ashamed. So that they'll come to realize what they're missing and change their life. Do not regard them as enemies, says Paul. Warn them as believers. So he wants them to be drawn back into the embrace of the community. But they're stubborn, they're determined, so he has to make a very firm stand and ask the community to make a firm stand to stop the poison of their false teaching infecting the whole group. And now, verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in all ways. Peace, the harmony of the community, the one body of Christ, the community of love, sharing in the life of Jesus, and each one full of life, sensitively shared with the others. May the Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the mark in every letter of mine. It's the way I write. So he wants that to be his signature so they'll recognize authentic letters from him. And he concludes, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you.